Okay, let everybody get settled here. All right, this week's Torah portion is Korah. That is Numbers 16:1 through 18:32. The Haftarah portion is 1 Samuel 11:14 through 12:22. This is a really big portion. We see as we come around to it each year, it's a really big deal, and it deals with a lot of stuff going on in our hearts and just the cycle that humans seem to go into and to continue in, and so it's a big one on my heart too. All right, this is 1 Samuel 12, 20 through 22. I'll read it back here so I can actually see it. And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside from, or do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people. For his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself." So we can obviously see that he loves us a great deal, and that there's a lot of importance to him on our relationship with him and knowing us and really being in love with him and knowing him and not just existing because he's powerful enough to create us, but that he wants that relationship with us. And so with that being said, and with an introduction into the portion like that, why then do we often, so many times, especially it seems to be after there's great revelation or great just triumph in your life, that we enter a time of hardship or a time of fear and we deal with doubt and we deal with fear? Why does our brain do that? And why, you know, I don't have a good answer for it. But I think it's just something that we see often as just a typical pattern where we have this victory, we do very well in it, we praise the Lord, we're excited, and then we enter hardship, and immediately we revert from that and want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the comfortable spot because we don't know what's coming. So, some questions for you. Have you ever experienced hardship directly following great physical, financial, or spiritual growth? We often hear people call these tests, but I'm sure everyone in here has a numerous amount of stories they can tell where they've been in a position like this. Have you ever felt like it can be easy to lose sight of blessing amid new or ongoing chaos? So when the Lord blesses you with something and then it's easy to lose sight of that blessing or the triumph that you just had because of the new chaos or because of the chaos that you're living in, I'm sure we've all felt like that as well. Or have we ever felt like the place that we were freed from or relinquished of feels more comfortable and appealing to return to? How often have we been the dog wanting to return to that vomit, to go back to that place where we've been stuck and going around the mountain, and it seems comfortable? And so I think we see that very often as well. We have certainly all been there. And I've dubbed this story the Great New Home Debacle. And some of you are aware in here, but this portion really couldn't have lined up any more perfect with me having to really dive into it. But a short synopsis, we purchased a home. The process started back in late January. It took us about a month and a half to actually get all the financing figured out. That was a mess of itself. Finally got that done. We're excited. We were putting in weeks of work to get the painting done and the prep done and just everything to be set up for us to move into there. And so the time finally came where it was the weekend before we were going to move in. And my wife and my grandma were actually back in the bedroom and they were cleaning and in the closet. They decided to vacuum in the closet, try and kind of clean out the dust and the paint and stuff that we had knocked in there. And lo and behold, she runs the vacuum over some laminate in the closet and busts a hole in the floor, and there's termites in there. And so we all kind of like took a step back, like, oh no, you know, termites, you hear that or see that, and immediately everyone's reaction is the worst case scenario. And so started freaking out a little bit. We had the termite guy come out, check on the thing. He treated the termites. They're supposedly being dealt with, but he discovered some rotted board under there. And so we ended up calling a company that tracks mold and rot and just water damage in general. They came out and looked, and it was worse than we had thought, but it wasn't too bad. It was fixable. It was about a week worth of work. And so they ended up starting that work, I want to say, 2 weeks ago. And then when they actually got down there and they started pulling the insulation out and the wood out and everything, they discovered about 70% of our rim joist was rotten. So basically the entire foundation of the house really was unstable and on its way out. And so it went from a couple days to a couple weeks to now we're looking at probably about a month and a half out on the job being done, which you know, nothing bad. I don't want anybody to get the idea that we're sad about it or anything. We have a lot of peace about it, but it's just, you know, the one thing after another. We were in such a time of blessing that it had worked out. We were in another blessing, really, that we were living in before, but it was just small. It didn't quite have the adequate space to help our family out and do all that, and so we were finally excited to get out of there and to have some room and to have a place that was ours that we could really put our work into and feel good about it, that we weren't just blowing money on rent, and then out of nowhere, huge, crazy storm comes in and just takes out everything. And so, you know, it was really tempting when that all happened to want to shut down and to want to draw back and, you know, and be like, God, why did you bless us with this place and then put us into this mess? You know, what happened here? And really the key comes down to knowing that it's not him cursing us or hurting us, at least in my opinion, through prayer and just confirmation that we've had, that he's actually providing for us, that this is provision for us, that these issues were previously existing, not something that we caused, and that they were caught beforehand before we were in there, and we were able to get it taken care of. Insurance is paying for it. It's not something that's coming out of our own pocket. So really, it was completely provided for. And so just an example of what we're talking about is this is such a time where it could be so easy to want to go back to that vomit, you know, to say, well, man, I wish we were still living back where we were, or I wish we were still dealing with this, or I wish we had picked a different place, or anything to complain against him. It would be so easy to go to, but it's really brought me a lot of peace and a lot of joy to stay steadfast in him through this and to realize that he's taking care of us and to just give it to him every single step of the way. There's no reason in me freaking out about it or crying about it or worrying or stressing, because we know he's got it. And so to be able to give that to him is huge in this type of thing. Proverbs 17:3, the crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. You know, silver is refined in the crucible, gold is refined in the furnace. There is impurity taken out through that fire, and so we see that in our lives too. The Lord will put us through fire and refine our hearts through it. So in biblical sense, can we think of any time that there was a great blessing and then a great test? How about Moses, Aaron, and Israel? The portion this week, they were brought out. They had great victory. They escaped their masters. They no longer were dealing with Egypt and these people that were ruling over them. They were free to practice religion, to worship, to serve their God. But what did they do? They experienced hardship, and they wanted to go back to the vomit. They complained against the Lord, and luckily we have the blood of Yeshua, you know, so when we do that today, we are no longer consumed by the ground opening up. But we just see that, you know, when I read this portion, it's like in my head I'm thinking, man, you know, they just got brought out, he just provided, why are they already doing this? But then when we start putting it into real life context, we understand that, hey, this is how the brain works, this is how our hearts work, we're humans, and this is what we do. It's simply just the sin of the flesh. And so really realizing that and making sure, you know, that I'm not going to say I'm perfect or anything. You know, there is times where I've experienced weakness, even through this house thing. There is times where I've been discouraged. But when you come to God and you bring it to him, he will deliver you from that. So what then? This is Samuel 29, or I'm sorry, I think it's 12, 9 through 11 there. But they forgot the Lord their God, and so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, that we may serve you. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Barak, and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. Sorry, clicked too far there. So the so what of this really is, it actually ties a lot back into the last time I was up here speaking, is don't let that mentality hold you back. When we get into these times of doubt and fear and anxiety, don't let that be what keeps you from giving it to him. You know, the fact that you've already been fearful or the fact that you've already complained against him, let that go. Give that to him. Teshuvah, ask for repentance, and let it go. Serve him and continue to push into him, because if we hold on to that and we don't allow ourselves to grow and move past it, we're going to be stuck in the cycle. So we're going to increase our faith when something happens, when there's a bad situation, when there's anything that's troubling us. We're going to increase our faith and we're going to give that to God. We're going to trust that there is something for us in it. We're going to take a leap and trust in his plan. We're going to know that when we give it to him, that he is going to come through, that we're not going to give it to him in vain, that we're not going to give it to him and he's going to, you know, wait so long that it consumes us or overwhelms us with what's going on, but we're going to give it to him and we know he's going to take care of it because we're going to stay steadfast in his relationship. And then third, when we see victory, we're going to proclaim it. We're going to give glory to him because it's not by our means, it's not by anything that we did that we came out of that situation. It's because we gave it to him and we allowed him to be the victory in our lives, not from ourselves. So proclaim it. It's such a huge blessing to be able to give a good report or to share something that is just so meaningful to you because you've seen God's victory in it and you've seen him get you through to a place where he's overcome insurmountable or what seemed to be insurmountable. And to end off here, we are going to grow his heart through our faith. Unless we have faith in him and we do all these things that I just talked about and then we give it to him, we can't grow his heart in us. And so I'll leave it there, and as we go into the world and do stuff this week or in the coming months, that we just give it to him and grow his heart in us.